Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 14th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. What are the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips? Welcome to the broadcast. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you had a delightful weekend. A quick recap of Saturday's show. Then we'll jump into the last interview that I have recorded that we did at the Red Pill Expo. We'll get into that in just a second. So on Saturday, we had our guest, Mr. Richard Mack, founder and president of CSPOA. CSPOA is a partnership between citizens and local law enforcement, especially sheriffs. Mack encourages those not in law enforcement to please stand with their county sheriffs, especially the ones that are keeping the constitutional law of the land and who are keeping their oaths of office. CSPOA.org, become a lifetime member today, as I already am. We also talked about Robert David Steele. He was our guest as well. I should say we talked with him. Arise USA, the resurrection tour, the tour of the century, writing for faith, family, and freedom, Big Bat. That's B-I-G-B-A-T, BigBatUSA.org to learn more. Two incredible guests. Richard stayed the whole broadcast. Second guest we had on was Trent Luce, agriculture advocate, radio personality, ground commander of the Rise USA tour, losetales.com to learn more, LOOSTALES for his podcasts and shows and blog and a whole lot more. Trent Luce doing a great job. We also talked about the fact that Loving Liberty Radio Networks, Loving Liberty is excited to host the National Arise USA tour at Liberty Hall in Ogden, Utah. We are partnering with our good friend Trent Luce, who will be paying a special tribute to Burt Smith. This is a free event. You don't want to miss it, ladies and gentlemen. Come join us. It'll be Monday. That's a week from today, June 21st. 4 p.m. The buses will arrive and be there. We're also expecting a large crowd. So we've also reserved Smith Park. More details to come soon. We'll be talking about that all week, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two, Liberty Roundtable Live Saturday. National Arise USA Tour coverage continued. And we had Richard Mack, of course, with us for the second hour as well, but we also had a man named Kevin Jenkins with us. He's founder of Urban Global Health Alliance. The mission of the UGHA is to educate, empower, and release urban communities and their leaders from decades of indoctrination and suppression to create effective policy which will safeguard rights of equality. Kevin Jenkins is known as a truth warrior. Building healthy communities creates a healthy society, he says. Amen to that. Are you familiar with this Freedom Travel Alliance? If you don't know about it, you soon will. FTA is a social enterprise which is designed to support the rights of humans to move about freely and travel in comfort. FreedomTravelAlliance.com to learn more. We also talked about Kevin's new documentary, Medical Racism, The New Apartheid, exposing the truth behind systemic racism. medicalracism.org to learn more about that movie. You can watch it in its entirety. We also talked about the 18-second video documenting that those first in the Capitol were not Trump supporters. They had all black uniforms. It shows they were coordinated and appear to be from BLM or Antifa. Bob Unruh with the piece, WND.com. We also talked about Black Lives Matter infighting reaches a boiling point as members ramp up accountability. We also talked about a good news story to end both hours on Saturday. Jazz player Jordan Clarkson helps rewrap Yum Yum food truck after anti-Asian vandalism. I reject the vandalism. I'm grateful for Jordan Clarkson helping them get their truck up and running. As far as I understand, they're selling and doing a great job now, thanks to Jordan Clarkson and others. And shame on those who would commit violence against any of God's children. That's all of us. All right, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place on Saturday. Still available at LibertyRoundtable.com and LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, tell the tale, would you please? Without further ado, we have a guest. I interviewed her live at the Red X-Pill, but I've only got so many hours live on the radio while on events, right? So I recorded several other interviews. This is one of them. It's a long one. It is a heartbreaking interview. Her name is Juliette M. Engel. She's a medical doctor, by the way, and she's also the author of a book called Sparky, Surviving Sex Magic. JuliettEngel.com. She was born into a family of intelligence operatives. It's a riveting story. It starts now.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips, as always. We are live at Red Pill, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm telling you right now, it is an event to behold. RedPillExpo.org. You probably missed it by now, but you know what? You can still check out the live streams, the archived broadcasts, all available, all the speakers and everything else. $45 gets you 30 days. You can share it with your loved ones. I'm telling you right now, it is a do not miss. RedPillExpo.org. We are live in South Dakota, Rapid City now. And our next guest, Juliette M. Engel. She's the author of Sparky, Surviving Sex Magic. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a very difficult subject to discuss, but it's critical that we discuss it because abuse continues in our world everywhere. JuliettEngel.com, her website. She was born into a family of intelligence operatives. That's where we're going to start. Juliette, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So this is a very hard topic to discuss, probably not for you because you've been through it so much and your work has been tremendous for years, but you grew up in the 50s, right?
I sure did, yes.
And you were born to parents that were, do you call them parents?
And, yes.
And I don't mean that rudely, but you know what I'm asking, right?
Yes, I do. And yeah, I understand what you mean. Yeah, they were all part of the program.
Did they consider you a loved child, or do they consider you an experiment? What?
They considered me a property.
A property. And the reason that I highlight this, I know quite a bit about the elite, Juliette, and that's why I kind of say it like I do. They don't think like we do they?
No, and my family were and are elite, and they do this horrible things to their children just like they do to other people's children, but they don't kill us.
And why?
Why don't they kill us?
Yeah.
Because they train us. I mean, we are trained through programs like Sex Magic and the very different variations of the MK Ultra programs. And this is all documented in the Church Senate hearings from 1976, that in the 1953, when they started the MK Ultra programs, that even though they were illegal, there were 185 programs funded by the CIA that they admitted to.
So let's really kind of do, and I know we don't have time to get into all of this. I want to focus on you and the program that you were involved in personally.
Sure.
But just so people understand MK Ultra programs, what we're really talking about is the government via the CIA and black op government funded money with all kinds of sexual perverts, etc. They created all kinds of mind control projects, from drugs to sex to, I mean, it goes on and on and on. The depth and the scope and the breadth of this thing is beyond imagination. But really, it was about what can we do to force humans to believe, think, obey. I don't even know how to give it all on the table exactly. But think, obey, cooperate, carry out, advocate for whatever agenda they wanted to put on the table.
An anti-human agenda.
And the anti-human agenda really is a dovetail into the eugenics discussions, right?
No, the eugenics discussions are part of the anti-human agenda.
Okay.
And I say that because it was taught that way specifically.
I see. So tell me, the anti-human agenda, eugenics being part of it, is it that they want to be godlike humans and they want to make the rest of us like monkey-like humans?
No, they want to eliminate us as humans. And I my background is I'm from this elitist family. And I was part of the ceremonies for human sacrifice and all these things, but I was not sacrificed because I was being trained. And the reason I'm coming forward now, there's certainly no professional benefit to me in doing this, is because people like me who went through this horrible training and this programs and then submitted to it are the ones running the senior executive service, they're running the State Department, they're running all kinds of government agencies, they're everywhere. So you wonder, how can intelligent, educated people support an anti-human agenda? And the ones of us that didn't are out of that. So it's very important. I mean,
so help me understand something, because I know a little bit more about...
We're talking to Juliet M. Engel, ladies and gentlemen. She's a medical doctor. She's at the end of her career. She's retired. There's no political or professional benefit for her to speak out on this. In fact, it puts her in great danger. But her book is called Sparky, Surviving Sex Magic. JulietEngel.com, her website. The interview continues in seconds.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the JulietEngel.com incredible interview continues about sex magic and abuse in America. It goes on today. It's been going on for 70-plus years and more.
It's very important. I mean,
so help me understand something, because I know a little bit more about this than most might know.
Okay, good.
I can't tell you how. I just know more. So here's the question that I have for you. It is an anti-human agenda. Population control is certainly part of it. The eugenics movement, to have some of these people live forever is part of it. I mean, it goes on and on and on. How does one like you, born into it, trained in it and abused by it, break free? Most people break down or end up in multi-personalities or carry it forward or are so broken they can't talk about it. Or how do you come out of this so intelligent, become a doctor or an MD, have your life together, have the ability to tell about this, and then have them not take your life? I mean, how does all this happen?
It's a terrible struggle, and that's what I write about in the book. Sparky, is it from the age of three, I was the abuse started in earnest. By the time I was six, I was already taken off into programs and institutionally abused. And the thing that kept me going was my absolute belief that I was connected to God and that God did not like this.
And do you believe that just came with you at birth?
I don't know where it came from. I don't know how I got it. I don't know if maybe a grandparent put that in me or... But I was always looking for a way to find God. And I was always trying to build antennas so that I could get to God.
Was your parents equally involved in this, or was one of your...
No, they were. Yes, very much so.
Both so?
Both so.
And are they alive today?
No.
Neither of them?
No. That's part of the reason I felt like I could come forward.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I do.
And were they involved?
My brother was involved, but he denies it.
So he says it's not true.
He says it's not true. He wants to forget. He remembered for a while, and then he forgot. And I don't blame him. I mean, who would want to remember?
That's what I mean, though, by people have multiple personalities or people block things out. And, I mean, there's all kinds of... That's why your story is a little bit unique, because you're not melting down. You're able to talk about it appropriately, right?
Well, I did melt down, and I went off to work in Russia. That's another book, another story. But by the time I was 40, I couldn't remember anything before the age of 18. Nothing.
Wow.
It took years of work to start putting that together and then realizing why I didn't want to remember.
All right. So you went to Moscow. You ran an underground railroad, right?
Yes, I did.
Tell me about that.
Well, I went there.
Because it's really an outgrowth of the first story, isn't it?
Yes, it definitely is. And it wasn't until I'd done the second part that I went back and really looked at the first part. Like, why am I doing this?
Yes.
Why am I risking my life every day to rescue children in this third world environment? And why is it so important to me? And even choosing Russia, I realize in retrospect, I was really programmed to go to Russia. So,
And not programmed to do the Underground Railroad, though,
right? No, no. There I diverted.
They wanted you to come to Russia for a different reason, right?
Absolutely, yes. And I was under constant pressure to do what the embassy wanted me to do, and I never did. And they were constantly upset with me.
And what was their agenda?
Well, their agenda was to infiltrate on the ground civic groups. And at first they loved what I was doing because I was working with small groups of Russian organizations, people in Russia that wanted to reform child health care and to stop human trafficking and to educate people across the country about human trafficking. But then what I found out is that the biggest receiver of human trafficking victims from the former Soviet Union was the United States.
All right, so tell me where the word Sparky comes from in this whole thing.
Well, each year we move to a new place, new school, new location for the MKUltra program.
Because part of the key is you can't have ties, right?
Can't have ties, no, and you can't have ties to places or friends. There's no connecting lines, and you have to become a new person every time. So when I was 10, I became Sparky, and Sparky was a spunky Scottish kid and lived all kinds of imaginary adventures, which is how I got through each year. But this one was right at puberty, and I was gaining sort of an adult view of things and realized that I was in very big trouble. And that things weren't going the way I wanted to live. And I really, from then on, I was thinking and working about how breaking free of this. But that was the year of probably the worst abuse. And I think it was deliberate because I was going through puberty and starting to become independent.
There's something strange about these people's perversions that relate to flowering young women. That's part of this, right?
Oh, yes. And they love.
Am I saying this tactfully?
That's a very good way to put it, but yes.
I don't mean to be strange about this, but I do mean
people
an understanding of this, right?
You're right, yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, and every year at Christmas, they would destroy the holiday by taking me off to a Saturnalia. And in the Saturnalia, they do human sacrifice, and they do cut out children, and they do smear you with their blood, and they never... killed me, but they did cut me, and they did use me, and they did abuse me. And the reason was that I was a special one. And to prove that, I had a cross carved in my head. And where was I going with that? I was reluctant to put it in the book because I didn't want to tell people how to do it. You know, I think
sure. There's a balance here.
There's a balance. And even when I was doing the anti-trafficking work in Russia, I'd never put out too much about the trafficking networks because then it becomes a how-to manual for some.
Yes, for sure. What is a Saturnalia?
A Saturnalia is an ancient pagan ritual.
So let's be clear. It's on the earth. It's not something that is some alien thing. It's on the earth. It's a ritual. It's an exercise. It's an event that they create, right?
It's an event, and it takes place all over the world at Christmas. In fact, Christmas probably was chosen because it was the day of the Saturnalia. And it's a worship of the god Saturn, and it involves decorating a hall with greenery and lights and candles and burning cinnamon. It's the memory of the smell of pine and cinnamon to me. I can't stand it. And they bring children. Actually, they had us get dressed in our own homes, and then they drugged us and brought us to this site. And then it was a rape fest.
You, and they drugged you mainly because the average person in their not clouded mind can't really go through these experiences, right?
No. They had me drugged to the point I was paralyzed. So while I had to lay on this bed of greenery and be attacked by I don't know how many men, I detached in my mind and floated off someplace. I was very good at doing that, and watched it.
All right, tell me about the Monarch program, because that's what it was kind of called by the, it was in 1955, it was the Monarch program by MKUltra, but that, and then the sex magic, one is a exercise of the other?
Well, the way it was presented to me, and what I've tried to do with Sparky, is keep it strictly to my own experience.
Sure.
And it's sort of like it'll be up to investigators who can look at multiple people's experiences to really
put together the building blocks based on like experiences.
But here's the building block for someone. But the way it was presented to me was I was invited to be part of I was going to be in an organization called the Bluebirds. And I thought, well, that was great. That's how you become not a Girl Scout, a Campfire Girl. So, yeah, I thought that was really good. And then they gave me a butterfly pin, and they said, no, you're a secret butterfly. You're a monarch. But you can never tell anybody you have this, and you can never show it to anyone at school. And so that's how it's presented to the children. It's secret. And then really as you approach puberty, that's when they start sorting you out based on what your strengths are. And I was tall, pretty little kid, and smart, and they decided I would be, told me I was going to be a vril girl. It's V-R-I-L, which is, to me, they told me it was some kind of very intelligent scientist, which I thought sounded good. And so then they started training us at Disneyland how to go out and entrap people. And I got very good at that.
Tell me what you mean by go out and entrap people. What you mean is invite them into compromising situations that will be used against them, right?
Absolutely. Specifically, the first time they did that to me, they took a bunch of us. We were all high on drugs, and they took us. Mind you, I was 10 years old.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Juliet M. Engel. JulietEngel.com, her website. Sadly, we're discussing her personal experience about being in the Monarch mind control program as a kid. She was born into a family of intelligence operatives. Surviving Sex Magic is the name of her book, JulietEngel.com.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. You
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Israel's parliament voted narrowly to approve a new government Sunday, with Naftali Bennett becoming the new prime minister, ending Benjamin Netanyahu's 12 years in office. With many disruptions during the first address to the Knesset, Mr. Bennett's translator during one of the outbursts.
Government designate, on behalf of this whole house and on the name of the citizens of all of the state of Israel, member of Knesset, please get him out of the hall. Please remove him from the hall immediately. Please remove him from the hall. Vote stealer.
Mr. Netanyahu sat quietly during the disruptions and predicted, "We'll be back." Americans Michael Taylor and Peter Taylor pled guilty in a Tokyo court Monday to helping former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn escape Japan in a box aboard a plane in 2019. The Taylors face up to 3 years in prison. USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Jay Schrader, Super Bowl 22 champion and former Raiders quarterback. Playing professional football for 11 years beat my body up pretty bad. I've had so many surgeries on my neck, back, and shoulders and knees, I've just learned to live with constant discomfort. I tried so many products, some worked for a little while, but nothing gave me total relief until one day, a golfing buddy introduced me to Sons of Liberty CBD.com. I used their CBD Muscle Ease, rubbed it on my hands and neck, and wow, what did it do for me? I immediately began using their other products, and I have golfed pain-free for the first time in many years. I've reached out to Sons of Liberty CBD and visited their operation from farm to factory. Folks, this team walks the walk. Their motto is, for vets, by vets. I shared the product with my friend Wayne Allen Root, and now he's a fan of SonsOfLibertyCBD.com. Wayne's fans will receive a 15% discount using code WAR15 at checkout. I've told all my NFL buddies about Sons of Liberty CBD.com, and now I'm telling you, go to Sons of Liberty CBD.com. When it works for you, like it did for me, we both win.
The average price of gasoline continues to cost more. John Clemens from the Texas USA Radio News Bureau reports.
The price did reflect an increase of 95 cents higher than this time last year. But according to industry analyst Trilby Lumberg, the spring demand rush has yet to commence.
The spring demand rush, as we might normally call it, simply did not materialize so far because of price, because of general inflation, and because the work commute is still grossly reduced.
The highest average price across the nation is the San Francisco Bay Area at $4.31 a gallon, compared to Baton Rouge at $2.60.
United Kingdom's Boris Johnson is expected to announce a delay to the next phase of England's pandemic reopening Monday amid a surge in the Delta variant of COVID-19 first discovered in India. British media suggests openings could now be pushed back to July 19th. USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Going to the Juliet Engel interview, julietengel.com. It continues now.
To me, they took a bunch of us. We were all high on drugs, and they took us, mind you, I was 10 years old. They took us to Disneyland. They dropped us off. They made us get off the bus. And they said, if we don't have photographs with you doing this with a man, then you're not getting back on the bus. And it was clear that if we didn't get back on the bus, then we were going to be used for sacrifices. So I went diligently at it. I was in frontier land. I didn't have any money. I was really hungry. I wanted a hamburger. So I was in the line to get into the Golden Horseshoe.
And hold on. And you were hungry because they set this up to make sure that the base we had realities will take over.
That's right. We had no food. And
you see, I understand a little bit. They're intelligently making sure that the base realities, they don't need to teach you how to do this. The natural body and the natural human instincts will do it if they set the trap properly.
Yes, and it was beautifully set up. They dropped me right off in the line to the Golden Horseshoe, I think that's what it's called, where I could smell the cheeseburgers. But I'm in line with no money, so I'm standing there crying. And, of course, some nice man says, what's wrong? Are you lost? You know, where are your parents? And I wanted a cheeseburger. And somehow I got him to give me a cheeseburger, and then I got him to take me on the Wild Toad ride. And I knew that there were people with cameras inside the ride, and there was a place where it looks like you're going to head straight into a locomotive, and the light is coming at you. And then, of course, you veer away, but there were cameras there. So I had to have that man molesting me in front of the cameras if I ever wanted to get back on the bus and go home. So I did it. I did it twice. And
Are these men that don't realize what's happening, right?
Yeah, they were completely innocent. They were just...
Well, they're not totally innocent, but they're innocent to the real story.
Yeah, it was me doing it. But, you know, when I'm 10 years old, I always think it was me doing it. So, yes.
Yeah, but we know you're an innocent victim in the real world of normalcy.
In the real world of normalcy, a man wouldn't have gotten into the car with me, probably.
Correct. But the idea, though, is that that man isn't really an innocent man entirely, but yet he's being taken advantage of as well. But yet now we got two victims in a way.
Yes, because they could blackmail that man.
Yes. And do you know, was it a specific man they had selected for this, or was it all random?
I don't know. See, it could have been. I don't know.
I see.
They just put me in the line.
All right, so that's called Monarch. And the reason that the... So you're a monarch as a person in this program. The Sex Magic was a Disneyland operation within that program, right?
Yeah, it was Disneyland. It was a lot more. It was a very intellectual program also because they were training us to be scientists. So I went to high school in Palo Alto, and I had further education at the Stanford... the Hoover Institution, where I had classes by Alexander Kerensky. You know, he'd been the first president of Russia. Mm-hmm. He taught Russia, Russian history, and I think instilled in me the desire to go to Russia and other classes.
Yeah, because you've got to have your godless baptism into communism as part of this, right?
Absolutely, yes. Right. And a big part of every training session was being strapped to a wheel and spun around as people chanted, "There is no day, there is no night, there is no light, there is no dark, there is no right, there is no wrong," going on and on and on. And then it ends with, "There's only green." So green, you know, we think of green as green chlorophyll, nice pastures,
green
grass.
Right.
Yeah, but to them, green is a state of nothingness, and green is therefore the divine. So if you can get all the way to green, then it's, I don't
green
know.
Green is also the color of their fake money.
Their fake what?
Well, they call money green, right?
Oh, yeah, green backs,
so
sure.
That's the, it all relates to profit, destruction, godlessness.
Yes.
All the things that abhor every one of us are their gods, if you will.
Yes.
How do we help young men and women? Because this didn't just affect women. These programs had men and young boys involved too, right?
Oh, absolutely, yes. The boys were doing the same thing we were doing.
How do we make sure to teach young ones to not get caught, not be involved? Can they get out?
I don't know what you do, because the first time I was raped was I was six, and my father set it up, and he stood there and watched while I was screaming for his help. And I watched him get paid by the rapist.
See, that's where the money starts, right?
That's where the money starts.
Did he laugh? Did he?
He looked horrified and he was drunk, but he stood there the whole time and he didn't help me.
All right. So we just developed these narcissistic tendencies which detach you from your emotions.
I don't know. Maybe he was on drugs or something. But from then on, I never called him daddy again.
Understood. So do you don't have any more than just a brother?
I have one brother.
And that's all?
Yeah. But I have cousins, and the cousins that I can't get to do later in life have also been through these various programs.
And are they willing to speak up like you are?
I think once I do, they will.
When you say once you do, you've got your book out. Is this when do you kind of come out with this, or how long have you been speaking out about this?
Well, I came out with the book, which was very difficult to write. It took me 10 years to write it. And
sure.
I came out with it just as COVID was heating up, so I really wasn't able to get out there and talk about it. And plus, it took a lot of courage to get to the point where I could speak without being overly emotional. And so it's really, this is my coming out, is this Red Pill Expo.
I understand. Tell me about your life. Are you single now? Are you married?
No, I'm widowed, and I'm retired. I retired as a physician, and I left Russia a few years ago.
So were you a physician mainly in Russia?
No, I was a physician in Bellevue, Washington, which is next to Seattle. I'm old.
Are you ready to name names?
I can name some names.
Because there's people that are involved. This is a thread that runs, right?
Oh, yeah, there's a thread that runs. And I waited, actually. I felt better because a lot of them are dead.
Because this goes back to the, you know, there's been a lot of people who have spoke up about sex trafficking and the abuse that have gone on. All kinds of people who have spoke out about this and who have worked on this, too. What's fascinating to me is it always gets talked about, but it never gets really the whistle blown completely, does it?
It's because the people that are in control, you know, who are the editors in the media? Who is running the newspapers? Who is in charge of the various regulatory committees? Who's at the top? And you get right back to the senior executive service, and I think you have to look real seriously at where those people are coming from.
Is it possible to blow it wide open?
I don't know. I don't think I can. But I can give my experience and my piece.
Amen. But, so tell me and I'm not, I don't ask this question as a challenge. I ask this question to understand and to find out our role. So for you to come out now, what's the purpose and what do you want us to know and do?
Well, I hear speaker after speaker referring to, you know, we're under the yoke of the elite and we're oppressed by the elite and they keep referring to the elite, but it's clear to me they don't understand who the elite are and what they are. And they also don't understand that the elite are terrified. They're the most fearful people and entities I've ever come across. They're terrified of us us. But who am I? You know, I'm sort of on both. But
I don't know about that. By you standing up, you become one of us, right?
I certainly feel that way, yes.
And I think that you jettison what you can't control who or you know whom you were born to. You can't control what was done to you as a little child. You were a victim. I don't care if you participated in some of it or not. Many sex victims participate in things as they're groomed and as they're trained and as they don't understand and as they're victims. But that doesn't, in my opinion, create culpability. I mean, if you learn anything from psychology, you know, these people are victims even if they are carrying out some bad actions along the way. We don't blame it on them per se, right?
Yeah, and they controlled us through our feelings of guilt. And can I give you one example?
Please.
I don't know if you're familiar with Lookout Mountain. It's near Los Angeles.
Yes, uh-huh.
And it was built as a retreat for Hitler. Mm-hmm. And the bottom floor was a film studio where they made propaganda films both for the American services and for the Nazis. And after the war, they turned it into a porno studio to make snuff films using kids like me. And they would give kids like me, we'd be on drugs and in some weird clothes or no clothes, and they'd give us guns and tell us to shoot the other kids. And kids would get shot, and kids would die, and we thought we were doing it. And it really wasn't until last year when I learned to shoot a real gun that I realized, no, what they gave us were just toy props. And I absolutely melted at that, because all this time I thought I'd shot kids. No, I was a kid. This is when I was like 8.
How did you study and be a physician? How did you keep it all together, go through school, do all that, have a normal practice?
I didn't remember anything. Nothing.
And what triggered then now your ability to recall?
I went to Russia on an exchange. This was in 1990, and I was invited there. I went there. I felt absolutely at home there. Had no reason for feeling at home there. Could he actually even found out I spoke a little Russian. And kept having deja vu experiences of feeling like I'd been there before. So
that was all in the programming, though, right?
All in retrospect, absolutely. And I even wound up in the building that I was programmed to wind up in. I wound up having an office there for 10 years. And from then on, I think I was off the program, although the embassy was constantly pressuring me to do what they wanted. And that wasn't going to happen. But I kept being asked by people, like, why are you doing this? You know, why did you walk away from a successful practice and the perfect life? You know, I had all the bling. And I couldn't answer it. I couldn't.
How did you get out and get a normal life away from it for this space of time?
By not remembering. And I have to say that my education, because I'd been in this program, was probably outstanding in terms of science and math and people skills. So I had some skills that came from this program, but I couldn't remember where I got them. I couldn't remember anything.
But how come they just left you alone? I mean, you might not remember because you blocked it out, but it seems like somebody would come to you, right?
I have no doubt that they came to me. For instance, I was invited to a party, and the party was up in the San Juan Islands. And this was in the time of Iran-Contra. And I was invited to come, and they said, well, there will be a bunch of Iran-Contra guys, these CIA guys. They're really interesting. They're going to fly.
So this is like the 80s stuff, right?
Yeah, the 80s stuff, right? Okay. So they arrive in seaplanes, mm-hmm. and two of them are the Epstein brothers. And we meet in this, and several other people that I don't remember. I really only can remember Jeffrey Epstein, seeing pictures of him back then. But it was in a beautiful house. And basically, they wanted to give me the house. And they said, if we want you to work on our program, they wanted, because I was a radiologist and an ultrasound specialist and had patents and equipment, they wanted me to know if I could hide whatever data they wanted to transmit inside medical data, because they were building these island resorts for elites. And they wanted to be able to transmit information about them without it being intercepted. And I thought about it, and I said, yeah, you could do that. And then they wanted me to come and have this house. They were going to give me this house, live in the house, but I'd have to leave my children behind. And I wasn't going to do it, and I walked away from it. But that kept happening over and over. So I may have been intercepted many times. They're not going to tell me.
Yeah, they're not going to be blatant unless you decide to go aboard, and then they don't mind connecting some dots later
if
you play ball. Right?
But I think the way they stay successful is keeping you from knowing the rest of the pieces.
Sure.
And even being invited to Russia in retrospect was not an accident. I was specifically invited, and I found that out later from people in the Russian military intelligence.
How many children do you have?
I have two.
And they're grown.
They're grown.
And are they aware of everything?
They don't want to know any of it, and I don't blame them.
When you say they don't want to know any of it, are you saying that they're denying it and saying it didn't happen to you, Mom, you don't know? Or are they saying, we believe you, we just can't handle it?
I think some of both.
Some of both.
I want them to understand, because I think it has greatly impacted their lives too, but I don't want to publicly bring them into any of this.
And when you say publicly affected their lives, just because of your circumstances, or have they gone after them as well?
I don't want to say. That's their business to talk about.
I understand. I just know how multi-generational this becomes.
Yes.
And I can't believe that it stopped there.
It didn't.
Now, you may have tried to control it from there, but there's too much that we can't control.
That's exactly right. And that's one of the worst things about my life, is that even knowing this, I don't know how much control I have, if any. And I know what happens, like when I presented that data about trafficking to the United States, how I was immediately ostracized from State Department, from the embassy, there was a concerted decision that I wasn't worth the trouble. And
Do you have a relationship with your children now?
I don't want to talk about anything about my children.
All right. I hope there's a relationship, and I hope there's help.
I hope they listen to you.
that's my whole point, and I don't mean to make it awkward, but I do think that if we're going to solve this, it's going to take more and more and more and more to stand up, and eventually there'll be the greater numbers. The Me Too movement in a lot of ways was good, but in a lot of ways they're not taking on the real issues either. They're strangely mm-hmm. silent when it really, the rubber meets the road too, and that bothers me.
Yes, I think a lot of the movements, if it has the look of a movement, immediately gets co-opted. And I've thought about creating a survivors group or something, but I think they immediately get infiltrated and co-opted. And
Yes, and then pretty soon they're funded to do all kinds
exactly.
of things, but
exactly.
not enough of the real digging to matter. And
exactly.
we go on and on down
that's
the road.
Right. That's right. They'll fund half a person or a quarter of a person. That's what I found out working with government grants is they'll give you 10% of this person and 2% of that person.
Yeah, or you'll always be on the pursuit. And you might even have, it's kind of like the war on drugs program. We'll get enough drugs busted to once in a while hit the news showing that we're doing a great job. But at the end of the day, they're not stopping any drug transfers.
No.
Okay, they're not. So the same thing will be true with this kind of thing. They'll get a booty here or there result to make it look like it's happening. You know, donate today, kind of an idea. We're doing a great job. Look at us. Look what we're doing. But in the real scheme of things, it's a drop in the pond.
Yeah, like there was a presentation on the AIDS epidemic and how that was created.
Yes.
But the reason why it was created was it became a huge funding boondoggle. I mean, the Global Fund gets billions of dollars, sends it all over the globe for fake programs, and the real programs get a tiny, tiny little percent, and the rest goes through Clinton Foundation and to foreign governments and to fund palaces. It's all in the name of AIDS. And under that, there are all these other agencies called Friends of Global Fund that suck off resources but don't really do anything.
So understood.
Those form the black budgets, I'm sure. I don't have any. This is my opinion, having worked in that world.
Juliet Engel with me, ladies and gentlemen. Her website, julietengel.com. We're talking about her being born into a family of intelligence operatives and initiated into the CIA's newly, at the time, established Monarch program in 1955, part of MK Ultra mind control stuff. She was involved in sex magic as a child, then grew up and went to Russia, and she was involved in the Angel Coalition in Moscow, which really was an underground railroad to try to help people. She was then a successful physician, and now she's written her book to tell you about it. Sparky was her nickname in this program. Surviving Sex Magic. Very riveting story, to say the least. Hopefully more and more people will come out and we'll get memories and be able to cooperate all those memories and get documentation to eventually expose and take down criminals everywhere. Julia, I know I can't really cover it all in a short radio program. There's just too much here. What have I overlooked that you want everybody to know?
Well, I want people to begin to understand who the elites are. And I think that...
By name or by their...
By what they are.
By what they are. Got it.
And to me, the reason I can never be part of this family, I can never be part, is the abuse of children. The fact that they do sacrifice children and they don't see anything wrong with it.
Because their God, satanic, demands it.
Well, you might be able to make a deal, like you stop sacrificing children, we'll stop. I don't know what.
I'm just saying that their God demands it of them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
That's a critical point to understand.
It is. And I don't know how you get around
our
that.
Our God is a God of agency if you're a Christian. Their God is a God of force.
They're terrified of Christians. And that's why they're so concentrated on changing the Bible and destroying Christianity and desanctifying churches. And
that's why they want to jettison the male-female narrative as well.
That's part of the wheel. There is no man, there is no woman, there is no mother, there is no father, there is no boy, there is no girl. There's only green. So the green agenda is nothing.
The closest I get to green is the green grass and the green room. When people get ready for radio programs and evergreen broadcasts, okay? It's a sad tale to tell. I know we can't cover it all, but I sure appreciate you coming. Now, hopefully you're going to be able to speak out more. Hopefully we can bring people to the table, and hopefully this can create some kind of a movement. Really what we need is to expose this and create transparency. They can't work in the light, can they?
No. No, they can't. It's the light and it's Christianity that they can't deal with.
And that's why, you know what, they act like they're coming for the whites over race, or they're coming for this or that. They're not really. They're really coming after the Christians in the end.
They're coming after the Christians, and one thing is we did have eugenics class. So I told you a little bit about that. That was one of the – we had classroom training, and one of them was a class on why there would be no black people after 1982. And I took that and wrote it into a school paper. I'd never met a black person by that time. And I wrote a report on why there would be no black people in 1982, wow. which raised a lot of flags and sent me off to a psychologist. But so I have that somewhere.
So let me ask you this. Are you a Christian now?
Yes, absolutely.
And how and when did you become a Christian?
I had to work at it. It's taken I couldn't read the Bible, and that's in Sparky. And even now, if I try to read it, I start reading it backwards. So that's some kind of deeply, deeply programmed thing. But I had a friend who very patiently, over the course of 4 years, read me every word in the Bible and read it out loud, and we discussed each book, each passage, how it fit in. And it was astonishing to me, absolutely astonishing. And to understand the difference between the world and the spirit, and how the world is satanic and the spirit is godly.
And are you able to forgive these people?
No.
I understand. It's a long road, part of the Christianity that we believe in of Jesus Christ. At some point, you know, that's a bridge you might need to cross, right?
Yes, but I think at this point, so many people are so quick to forgive, not realizing that that's an enemy that wants to kill us.
Yeah, we need to not forget, that's for sure.
There's
a big difference between forgiving and forgetting. Forgiving says I'm going to leave it in the hands of the ultimate Savior, Jesus Christ, to deal with this. It doesn't mean that I'm going to let it go, and it doesn't mean that I don't care, and it doesn't mean that I don't want accountability. It doesn't mean those things. It just means that Jesus will take care of this at some point, and I cannot have that burden personally. But forgetting is never an option, right?
Yes. So I'm just over getting past forgetting. So
it's a process, and that's kind of why I asked. Maybe you're not ready for it now. But at some point, we do know that the judge of the universe will judge them.
Well, a very big participant in our program was Michael Aquino. And I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he just died. And I'll never forgive him. So,
And tell me his role.
He was one of the higher ups in the program, and he considered himself a very high level Satanist, and he had a team of Satanists, and they operated in all the different annexes where the kids were, and they devised these tortures and these awful things, and he was particularly active around the Hollywood area, and I spent quite a bit of time around Laurel Canyon in the canyons. There's several canyons, not just Laurel Canyon, and they have these programs running all over the place there, and he was responsible for driving a lot of musicians into this Satanism and ultimately to their deaths.
And where do you live now?
On the East Coast somewhere.
On the East Coast. I don't even know exactly where. I'm just understanding. So you live as far away from it as you can get, is the point.
No, it's everywhere. You can't get away from it.
You can't get away from it.
I thought I was away from it in Moscow, but...
It's worldwide.
It's worldwide.
Do you believe there's places of safety or refuge?
I'd like to know about them. I don't know.
Understood. You know what, Juliet? We sure appreciate you. We're flat out of time.
Maybe South Dakota.
don't we wish. It certainly is a place of more freedom, but I have a feeling, you know what? This stuff is everywhere, and I don't think you can get away from it.
No, you can't, and we need to make a stand, and that's why I've made my stand.
And we're grateful for your stand and your leadership, and we hope others stand with you. Juliet Engel, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
All right. Her website, julietengel.com. To learn more and to get her book. Incredible interview with Juliet Engel. It's a sad interview. It's a scary interview. It's an interview that makes you go, oh my, do we have hope in this world? And ladies and gentlemen, the answer is yes, we do. Even Juliet has hope. She knows that God loves her, and that's what got her through this whole thing. Never forget God's love conquers Satan's hate. Got it? Remember that always. Christian or not, know that God loves you and me. And know there's good people doing good things all around the world. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour one in the can, hour two coming up with Dr. Scott Bradley. We declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic of the United States.